go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
If the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected, in verse 22, of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes, and be slain, and be raised again the third day. Now, if ever there was a message that a congregation didn't want to hear, that was the one they didn't want to hear. They did not want to hear he was going to be slain. But even further, they didn't want to hear the second half of the message. If any man will come after me, verse 23, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And it says, and whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That's an interesting way he puts it, isn't it? Whoever would save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Play on words. Why? Because he wants you to want him. He woos. He romances you. He blesses you. He draws you. He shows mercy. Do you know where we'd be if Hillary Clinton had been voted in this past election? Now, I know politics. Hey, just a little heads up. Do you know the Bible is a lot of politics? Did you know it's all about kings and countries and boundaries? And so when I speak of these things, I'm telling you there is an Ahab on one side who's got a Jezebel whispering in her ear. And then there's a King David or a Josiah on the other side. And sometimes it's pretty clear. And right now there's some clarity. I mean, we don't have a hard choice to make. And if Hillary had been in there, we would have seen this country demise. And my point in saying that is that Donald Trump, though he was not my pick, I was behind Cruz. I didn't have a problem with Trump per se. I kind of liked to show The Apprentice. I thought, you know, he's all right, but he's just not my man. He's a casino guy, you know? He's a casino guy. But the other side of it is that I understand now, in retrospect, that there was nobody with the mettle to stand up to the entire world like he has done. Nobody. Do you know what that is? That is a mercy from Almighty God. And we need to recognize that we are on borrowed time. Because there's nobody in the wings that I believe could actually stand there and take what he takes every day. And you need to keep praying for him. And may I say to you, pray that he'll get saved. Not sure I've seen the fruit of that yet. He needs to come across the line. He's doing Christian things, so he's living by 1950s values, but he needs Jesus because that would just take him to a whole new level. Verse 25 says, what would an advantage man to gain the whole world and lose himself? The word lose here is the word apolemy. You remember Apollyon? It means destroyer. This is a man who's destroyed himself. What would it profit if a man gains the whole world and destroys himself? That's why I say being a servant of Christ is out there trying to help people come back from the ledge and get themselves righted or be cast away. Lose himself or be cast away. Because if you lose yourself, the other's going to inevitably happen as well. Verse 26 says, for whoever will be ashamed of me and my words of him, shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels? But I tell you of a truth that there be some standing here that will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. There it is, the kingdom of God again. You know what's neat about this? This is the transfiguration he's moving into. The Bible says he went up again into a mountain to pray 8 days later. He went up to pray. Look at verse 31. Peter and they that were with him were heavy sleep. Man, those guys have got a pattern here, you know. The night of his crucifixion, he says, abide with me, pray with me. I'm under deep distress and they're sleeping. Here he is praying, the kingdom of God's coming, the kingdom of God's coming, and they're asleep. Can I say to you that I believe the kingdom of God is about ready to dawn? Everything he said is ramping up. And there's no putting the toothpaste back in the tube. One world government, one world currency, one world of poverty in need of a government to show them the way through. You just factor in the rapture and everything's completely open season for every kind of evil thing. The Bible says that he prayed And as he prayed, verse 29, his countenance was altered, and this is where he shone like the sun. And while he was doing all this, the Bible says in verse 30, behold, there was with him two men. And when you zoom in, it says, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah. That was a good moment. That was the kingdom of God standing right there. And it was a picture of it because you had the law and the prophets represented. The law, Moses, the prophets, dealing with the political world of their day. Elijah calling down Ahab, Elisha. These were the prophets and the law. And the Bible says he spoke with them both. And the Bible says in verse 31 that they who appeared in glory, because he was in glory. By the way, there was no space time shifting thing. They were just all in glory. Okay, right there. In the glory and in glory. And there it was, because they understood the way God had created things in a way you and I cannot until we get home. We won't understand fully, but it says, who appeared in glory and spake with him of his decease. The Greek word is Exodus. You know, Jesus was down here dealing with you and me, and he's getting ready to leave. But it wasn't a terrible thing in the sense when he's talking to the rest of the guys in the kingdom. It's like it's his Exodus. And look what it says, which he should accomplish. Jesus was here to do a work, and his work was to die for our sins on the cross, to take the punishment you deserve, that I deserve, to pay for the gift of eternal life, to die on a cross, a heinous death, pieces of bone and metal, each strand of the whip, beatings, punching in the face, ripping of the beard, crown of thorns, shoved down, body desecrated, ripped and torn. And as he's at that terrible, terrible place, then they rip all of his clothing off of him. And they put his feet on a cross, a piece of wood. They shove nails into it, his hands. And then they lift him up. But it was an accomplishment. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Because he knew if he did this, some would believe. Some would come. Some would trust him. And they wouldn't perish. And people who understand some things like that none of us is getting out alive will run to the Jesus because he's the only one who makes a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. The Bible says that Peter and his friends were asleep when all this was happening. And it says that when they awoke, they thought about making three. Peter said, man, maybe we should make three tabernacles. It's good for us to be here. This is great. Most important people we've ever thought about are here. This is great. But the Bible says that he said, maybe we can make us three tabernacles to keep you guys comfortable in. And it says, not knowing what he said. It's very important for us to understand the word not knowing, not seeing. You see, he was not of that timetable. That was not where they were. It wasn't time to tabernacle. He didn't understand that there was going to be a church age interposed here. And the Bible says, therefore, God kind of stepped in. If you've had children, sometimes they'll step up and say things. You're like, whoa, son, why don't you go back and help your mom in the kitchen? You know, this is him. And the Father stepped in. And the Bible says there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And in verse 34, it says, and they feared. And that's where we need to be right now. We need to fear. Lest we say something we ought not. And do something out of kilter with what's needing to be done. You see, right now, we're boots on the ground for God, and there are many Christians sleeping. Don't let it be said of us. The Bible says when this cloud came over them, they feared. And in verse 35, it says, this is my beloved Son. This voice came and it said, this is my beloved Son. Simply two words, hear him. Hear him. Listen to him. He's telling you about a kingdom that's coming. He's trying to get his people ready for the wedding feast. He's trying to get the people to wake up so that they can be helping in the redemptive plan of the Gentiles and the rest of the world. And the Bible says when the voice was passed in verse 36, and Jesus alone was found. He wasn't shimmering anymore, we're told from the synoptic gospels, the other gospels that record this account. And the Bible says, and they told no man in those days, but he does later. He does later. Peter does later. He talks about it forthrightly in his epistles. He said, told no man in those days. In those days. Now he's starting to see. They didn't know what they were asking, but now they see. They didn't talk about it in those days, but they realize later there's a day for that. Do you know we're in a day where we need to be talking about the kingdom of God? We need to be talking about Jesus coming. We need to be talking about the rapture. We need to be talking about the millennium. And for churches that won't talk about those things, get a new church. Or pastor, wake up. Because this is a day that we're supposed to be tuned up, having our lamps trimmed, having oil, which is the Holy Spirit, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, if nothing else. And what we're seeing is, he's telling them, showing us in this learning to be servants of God, he's showing us what it looks like. There's a time and a season for different things. You and I are in a unique one now. Verse 37 says that it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down, there's this man with a son that's a demoniac, a little boy who's got an evil spirit has taken him. Verse 39, the father comes and he's begging these apostles that were left down below when Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus. They're down there and they can't cast it out. They can't cast this spirit out. And so he comes and he says, Master, verse 38, cast out this demon and help me. Nobody can help me. You know, he needed somebody to lean in. There was a spiritual problem here. And he doesn't give us all the details. Why? Because the thing he's trying to show us is how to be a servant. You want to know what you're going to have to do to be a servant? You're going to have to look beyond all of the things that really distress your heart, and you're going to need to keep plowing forward for Jesus. He comes down, he sees this spirit on this boy. In the verse 40 it says, "And I besought thy disciples, the father said, to cast him out, and they could not." What does he say? "O faithless and perverse generation." Perversity means to twist things. Perversity is a twisting of things. They thought it was about power. They thought it was about authority. It was, no. In fact, other Gospels were told, he says, this sort cometh not forth except by fasting and prayer. And Jesus didn't take a moment to fast right now. He was in a constant state of fasting and prayer. He says that the woman at the well encounter, they said, Master, do you not want some food? He says, I have meat to eat you don't know of. I'm living in light of my relationship with my Father all the time. So I'm ready. But what they were thinking is, who's going to be the greatest? What's it going to be like? Man, the kingdom's coming. In verse 41, this is what he had to deal with. How long will I suffer you? Verse 42, the Bible says, as he was yet coming, this little boy is being brought up, the devil threw him down, the little boy. And he tore him, he had an epileptic type seizure of some sort. The Bible says in verse 42, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. You know what that is? That's the word epitamao. The word means literally to have, to place honor, in other words, to focus on what the problem was. It means to address the issue. Do you know what we're doing today? We're talking about cases in our country, not about deaths. Deaths are way down. We should be celebrating, but we're talking about cases. This is just a no-brainer. We know, we've told you this. But my point is, we're not addressing, we're not honoring the problem. And our society is being turned upside down because nobody will address the real problem and start talking about how the deaths are down and we've got this. We understand, though, they want to ramp it up for political purposes. Jesus addressed the problem. And the Bible says, and the unclean spirit, he rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child. Eonomai. He healed him. He made him whole, is the idea. And delivered him again to his father. Now look at this. In verse 43 it says they were all amazed. But while they wondered every one at these things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these things sink down into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. Don't get all ramped up and all the hoopla and the good that everybody's looking and oohing and on. He says, you need to let this get down into your ears. This is not the season to make tabernacles. This is the season to go down into the valley and to deliver the people from the evil that they found themselves wrapped up in.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.